Hey, special educators, I'm Jennifer from Positively Learning. Welcome to the Special Educators Resource Room. If you're like me, you're always looking for ways to save time and streamline your work. That's why this podcast was created, to give you the systems and solutions you need to get your time back. Tune in for tips, tricks, and tools that will help you manage your workload and make the most of your time. Whether you're brand new or experienced, all are welcome in the Special Educators Resource Room. Hey, Special Educators, it's Jennifer from Positively Learning. I love this topic for this podcast. This is all about paraprofessionals, do's and don'ts for supporting the paraprofessionals that we work with. Let's get started. Let's start with the basics. We know that paraprofessionals can be angels in disguise in our classrooms. They can provide support to students, to teachers, to the entire educational environment. But it is a relationship, and every relationship we have, both professional and personal, requires care, understanding, and, you know I'm going to say it, clear communication. So what can we do to make sure that this partnership with paraprofessionals and all staff in the classroom is as effective and positive as possible? All right, here's do number one. So number one, you want to build that rapport. You want to get to know your paraprofessional. This does not require anything fancy. I know there's paraprofessional surveys. I have them in the Positively Learning resources, but it's not necessary. Think about how we build relationships. We show that we're interested and ask questions, and we listen to the answers. We also can use observation. If someone's bringing iced coffee to school every day for a month, we can draw some conclusions. Next, we want to provide clearly defined roles and expectations. It's so important that every adult is on the same page about what their role is in the classroom. So you want to sit down and do this at the beginning of the year, whenever someone new starts, or whenever it's needed. Think about how often we refresh expectations for our students. What should be included in this? Well, I think of it as general best practices for the classroom. You can outline instructional practices, positive behavior support, different ways that students are supported from any staff member. You will also want a list of expectations and responsibilities. If this is all making you cringe, this is when I would recommend using an outside source, like a staff training binder that you can print out. I have one at Positively Learning, and it's done for you, so you could just hit print. Or you can edit. And editing would be really important if your school or district has specific guidelines that you need to follow. If you're starting from scratch, this could look like a page with three columns listed: I do, you do, we do. And then just start thinking about what happens. What happens in a typical school day, week, month, year, and list it out. Think about the school day. Students arrive. What are we all doing? We're teaching in a whole group or pulling a small group or getting ready for a transition. What is everybody doing? Just writing it out very clearly. Here's the next tip for paraprofessionals, do's and don'ts. Set up everyone for success. We know that we would appreciate this as a teacher. What can we provide to paraprofessionals? So this could be a prompt hierarchy reference page for small group work, access to behavior plans or data collection sheets to track student progress. Here's my own experience. I worked with a paraprofessional who had dreams of becoming a teacher. Through a lot of conversation and feedback, we eventually got to a place where we were pulling small groups. I was pulling a group for instruction. We had another group working in independent work systems like task boxes. And paraprofessional was able to either support students working independently, keeping everybody on track while I was working with a small group, or there were times where she could pull her own group, whether she was doing a read aloud or I could provide done for you lesson options. Like the task box lesson plans are a lesson plan with two task boxes. And those are about 15 to 20 minute lessons. What's nice is they are standalone, which means one lesson doesn't build upon the next. I could print these out and have them all prepped and ready, and then they're there. So paraprofessional can grab them when the opportunity would arise. And maybe that was two times a week or three times a week. That's what that paraprofessional wanted to do. I worked with other paraprofessionals that were stronger in behavior, but didn't want to be doing any of that instruction. And of course, that's fine with me. And that's why that communication is so important. What if I didn't know that? What a huge missed opportunity. one more paraprofessional do. We've been talking a lot about communication, and I think of it in two different ways. We want to make sure we've established open communication and maintained it. Easier said than done, but so important. There should always be an open line of communication between you and anyone that you're working with. If someone has concerns or issues, they should feel comfortable coming to you. And that doesn't mean the issue is you. It could be an issue with something else that's going on at school. Here's my pro tip. I like to be very proactive because I don't handle surprises well. So I'm always asking, how are things going? Do you need anything? I find it so much easier to handle those small little things than to let them build into bigger problems that we have to react to. As far as maintaining communication, it's really important to know how others prefer to receive feedback. Some might want to get that in the moment. Let's get it over with, moving ahead, while others might prefer a later discussion. That shows respect when you can honor those preferences, and that helps everyone feel like they've got that healthy working environment. All right, so it's important to know what to do. It's also important to know what not to do. So let's switch to paraprofessional don'ts. First, it's so important to remember our paraprofessionals are trained professionals. Many come with a wealth of knowledge and expertise. It's important to treat everyone with respect and ensure that same level of respect is being extended to paraprofessionals wherever they go throughout the school, so you can advocate for that level of respect. I have a quick story to tell. When I was an undergrad, I went to a school that had 2 years of student teaching. So that was a lot. I could not hold a job, obviously, with student teaching and classes. Whenever I had the opportunity, I would sub because I needed the money and I wanted the experience. I was in a state where I was qualified to sub, and it was those types of systems where you could log in and take the job for the day. So I did short-term subbing as much as possible. I would say 50 times maybe, 50 different schools. And then at the end, I was able to get a long-term subbing job after I graduated and I had accepted a position, but it hadn't started yet. I learned more from subbing than I ever learned in college. I said it, it's true. All right, so what I did though with these one-day sub jobs, these short terms, is I got to know paraprofessionals very, very well. Sometimes I would walk into a classroom and no one would speak to me. That was kind of my experience often because these paraprofessionals or classroom aides were not used to being treated with respect. They had people kind of coming in a revolving door and no one asked them, even though they had all this wealth of knowledge. I was not that person. I had no ego. I just wanted to survive the day. So I would come in. I learned very quickly that many paraprofessionals know exactly what's going on. They could run that classroom perfectly. They were not necessarily being treated with respect. I learned very quickly, though, to ask questions and to listen and to use the information they provided with me. And man, when I say paraprofessionals saved the day, that is the biggest understatement ever. There were so many times that paraprofessionals helped that day go so much better for students and for me, the sub who just showed up that morning. All right, so that's my story. So tip number one, don't do this. Please do not micromanage. It's so important to give paraprofessionals autonomy. They may not do it the way that you would do it, but you have to think about that big picture. If you find you want to micromanage, step back and ask yourself why. Is it a lack of training? Is it an unaddressed issue? Is it you? Are you feeling just that lack of control? Because that's just the truth, right? Is it you and not the paraprofessional? If you can find that root cause, that can often alleviate that need that you have to oversee every little thing. Please don't beat yourself up if you have micromanaged. I think we've all been there, but now we have awareness and we're going to try to do better. Tip number two, please don't do this. Don't be afraid to ask for help. This whole thing, this is overwhelming. So reach out to the paraprofessional. They're there to support you and support the classroom. And asking for help is not a sign of weakness. Remember my sub story? What would have happened if I never asked for help? How would the day have gone for students and for myself? And then think about everyone in the classroom who knows what to do and they're never asked. would they feel respected? So definitely reach out for help. That is a huge step to a more efficient classroom. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up now because it's getting a little bit long, but I'd love to know what you think. Do you agree or disagree with the do's and don'ts that I shared? Have you had these same experiences that reflect these points, or have your experience challenged them? I would love to hear your own stories and insight. And if you're a paraprofessional listening to this episode, what do you wish teachers knew about working with you? Let me know. I'm going to put some helpful information in the show notes. I'm going to be linking to previous podcasts that talked about supporting our paraprofessionals. Those are episodes 3, 15, and 46. I'll put that in the show notes. I'll also link to the Taskbox lesson plans and the paraprofessional training binder. Let me know if you have any questions, and thank you so much for listening. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'm dying to ask, what'd you think? Be sure to hit the follow or subscribe button so that you never miss an episode. You can find the show notes and links for everything mentioned in this episode at positivelylearningblog.com. See you next week for more special education solutions.